So there was somebody that I was seeing out of my like last relationship. The first person, one of the first people that I was seeing that I really liked, that I completely, I ruined the chance because I moved too fast. 100%. And I think that that was why I kind of, because I did, and she literally had said to me at a certain point, she's like, this is too fast. We have to, I like you, but we have to slow down. And I was just like, no, don't think about that. I was literally like what you just said. Where I was just like, no, don't think about it. We like each other, right? We're going to be a great couple. And she, like, eventually she was just like, I cannot, I like you. You're a great guy. I can't do this. Like, this is going way too fast. We've been seeing each other for 4 weeks. This is way too fast.
Lexapro Mike came out.
No, I wasn't on Lexapro yet.
Oh, you weren't?
No,
Lexapro Mike was like
3 months away. Things changed and got better. But I mean, like, it was that experience, I think, was enough for me to be like, all right, maybe I should slow down a little bit, because this was a person that I ruined something with that it could have been something. And I blew through every yellow light, and she was like, come on, please, I like you, like begging me to slow down. Like, please, I like you. Don't fuck this up. And I was like, no, we're going right through the red lights. And then, of course, like, that was it.
I would have sworn that would have been like day two of you on Lexapro. Just like, we're not thinking. We're out of our head. The anxiety's gone.
No. Once I was right on Lexapro, I was seeing things crystal clear. It was unbelievable. I was going on dates and I was just like, oh my God, I do want to be single and have a great summer. And like, it was just like so crystal clear. Before I had gotten onto Lexapro and like taken care of my mental health, I was clinging to anything that felt good. Clinging the fucking life out of it. Just squeezing it to death.
Yeah.
And I did, you know?
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Shooters Gotta Shoot. I am your host, Erica Spira. And today, I have a fun episode with my good friend, Mike, one of my longest friends since I moved to New York. And we just have a fun time talking about all different dating stuff for you guys. And fun fact, I forgot to mention this early in the episode. Mike was like the second person I ever told when I got herpes. And for a long time, only Mike and one other friend of mine knew. And I mainly felt very comfortable telling Mike because in the past, before I got it, he actually had dated somebody that already had it. And I remember, you know, just being his friend and him being like, this girl told me she had herpes. I really like her. I've been looking into it. It's like not really a big deal. There's a very low chance I could ever get it. Like, you know, and I was just there. It was before I ever had it. Kind of just being like, yeah, I don't know that much about it either, but it sounds like there's not really a risk. And, you know, does she take medication? Da, da, da. And I remember like kind of going through that with him. So then when I essentially had the feeling that I might have it, he was, you know, someone I told early on of like, hey, you were with someone that had this. Did you ever get it? Blah, 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 all that type of stuff. And I'm mad at myself for not bringing that up because I don't know if he knows, I guess, how much he really helped me when I was dealing with having it. And just, you know, it was nice to have a good friend that I felt comfortable telling that I had it in the first place. So anyway, I can't believe I haven't had Mike on yet. Honestly, he's a good friend of mine. And he's also the producer of Guys We Fucked, to our friend Corinne, who we've had on. And I got to get Christina on. I haven't had her on yet. But anyway, before we get to the episode, real quick, guys, two things you can do to help us out. You could subscribe to the YouTube page. All right. We're uploading video. And honestly, now that I'm cutting these clips, I'm like, oh, it is a little more entertaining to watch it. I'm not going to lie. So the link is in the description, or search us on YouTube, Shooters Gotta Shoot podcast, and you will find our page. Just click, it said subscribe. It's free to subscribe. All right. You can opt out of email notifications when we post if you really want to, but go check us out on YouTube. It's a free thing you can do to help us out. And you can also leave us a review wherever you're listening, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. That also helps out the show. And you got a little cash and you want some behind the scenes extra episodes and We're almost at our goal of 300 Patreon members that we're going to do a live show exclusively for Patreon where you guys get to pick your favorite guests. They come on, they'll answer your questions. We'll shoot the shit. We'll do some fun stuff. That's patreon.com/shootersgottashoot. All right. Just $5 a month. You get all the extra stuff. And not only do we have a preview at the end of this episode, but come hear why I kicked my mom off the Patreon this week. So yep, let her listen for a while, and now she's gone. So anyway, patreon.com/shootersgottashoot, and hope you guys really enjoy this episode with my good friend Mike.
I gotta bring in our guest this week. You might know him as one of my OG friends from comedy who quit.
Yep.
A producer at iHeartRadio. You might have heard his new podcast, Untold History of Sports in America. Or you might have heard him on Guys We Fucked. Everybody, please put your hands together for the great Mike Coscarelli.
Thank you. Oh, Fonzie, thank you so much. What a groove.
What, you kicked Ange off?
Yeah, I kicked her off.
What second. Happened?
Well, I can't tell you why. Okay, all right, Patreon. I'll tell you later.
How silly of me.
I'll tell you later. You know what? She had a good run. She had a good 3 years of getting all
did.
The secrets.
And what then, a lovely lady.
And now it's gone. Yeah. So anyway, I'm very happy to have you here.
I'm so thrilled. This is a long time coming, I think.
Yeah, you were requested by the Patreon gang, which is a very, very high honor, in my opinion.
That's what I've heard. What did they say specifically? They just said, he's a grid on Guys We Fucked. Aren't you guys friends? Shouldn't you
chat? They didn't know we were friends, and that's what's funny to me.
Okay,
they were like,
that's
you're...
so funny.
It's so funny when they're like, could you get Mike Coscarelli?
Yeah, could I get him?
Could I get him? I know he's not
hilarious.
Doing anything.
Yeah. Okay. Oh my God, it's funny. I get that from you too. Obviously,
yeah.
We had. I've had friends with. Really, when you launched the show, I think early on, we're kind of like, "Oh, I've listened to Erica's podcast. Aren't you friends with her?" But even recently, we had. I sent you a screenshot. Somebody that I went on a date with from an app recognized you because I have a picture of you, me, and Corinne at the Knicks game last year when we went. And she was like, "Is that?" Is that my favorite podcaster, Erica Spera? Do you know her? Are you friends with her?
Hell yeah.
And I was like, yeah. Let's do a date and, you know, the rest is history.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's great.
What?
I have that picture of you
on your
my profile.
It's a good picture of both of us.
Yeah, but no one's like, what? What's, you know, Mike?
Well, yeah, not yet.
Get it. But the point, I know, not yet.
It's funny though.
But it's just funny I put it there because I was like, I put it being like, this will attract men.
Sports.
I'm at a Knicks game.
Right.
Look at me. I like basketball. And 100%. That is like the highest like photo I've had or just commented on.
I'm sure. Yeah, it makes so much sense. I mean, guys, I think a lot of guys on dating apps will, especially just kind of like normal dudes just into sports, I think that they feel like a weight is lifted off of them if they start dating a girl that is into sports, because they're just kind of like, all right, we can kind of coexist on one thing for sure, and then we can figure out the rest, I guess, after. But
I would guess it's just they assume she won't be mad when I want to watch the game.
Or that, yeah, right.
Like, she'll understand
that
the game is important.
Yeah, yeah.
It's more important than church.
It is. For me, at least, for sure.
Want to know a real confession?
Yeah.
I've never said this on the pod. I went to a lot of Knicks games this year, partly because it was pretty cheap to go.
Yeah.
Not a hot year like the year we went.
Yeah.
But I went being like, oh, maybe I'll meet someone.
Did you really?
Yeah.
You did ask me to go a bunch, and then we ended up we were going to go, and then I got COVID.
Yeah.
And then, does that work?
No, it didn't work. But I was correct. The odds were in my favor.
Of course, yeah.
And during halftime, really anytime I'd like go to the bathroom, want to get a drink, I would take my sweet time like walking around.
Yeah.
And it is giant lines of men.
Right.
That it's like, all right.
Everywhere. But the question is, are they the type of men that you want to date? And that's always the question.
Who knows?
Because I always think that when I go to like a... Basketball's not as bad because it's in the city. It's kind of like...
Yeah.
And there's this kind of like status, I feel like, that goes into being at a Knicks game. But you go to like a Mets
depending
game...
Depending on the tier, right?
Yeah, if you're sitting like the 200 level or lower, you're good.
I'm walking around 100 level tier.
Yeah, 100 level tier is where
you're going to be. I'm not walking 300 level tier. No.
But if you walk around like by the Shake Shack at Citi Field where the Mets play, it just seems like all of the men in there, you wouldn't want to... any of those guys to be your boyfriend.
Depends.
They're all just like smelly, fucking drunk, like awful looking men, you know?
Yeah. The Mets game's a little cheaper than MSG.
100%. They're more salt of the earth. More salt of the earth men.
I am a Mets fan though. I do root for the Mets.
Yeah.
But hilarious. This is more what I felt like the problem was. I was like, all right, I'll go. Knicks, you know, I'll wear a Knicks shirt, you know, I'm a fan.
Yeah.
And then every time I'd walk around, there would be women dressed so sexy.
Yeah.
That I was like, ah, fuck. Yeah. I was like, I even have to compete here.
Yeah, I know.
There's a girl in leather pants and a bra just yeah. walking around.
You thought
just
you were
walking
in the clear.
Around MSG. Yeah, 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 yeah. I was like, I thought like heels, yeah. whole nine. And then I'm like, oh, she's got to be here on a date. And then it's just another hot friend would pop up. Yeah, and I'd yeah. be like, come on, guys.
Yeah.
Don't Knicks take my
are
thing.
Events that, like, they I think are. Women, remember how Corinne got? Corinne wasn't scouting for men when we went, but like, no. Corinne went all out and wore like all her Knicks shit and like yeah. did like, I think she had like pink hair when we went, like
something.
She went nuts, but it's just because I think the MSG just gives it that sort of mystique of like, this is a real night out.
Yeah.
Whereas like a baseball game is like dirty and like, you know what I mean? It's just kind of more like hot dog, fucking, yeah, sweating, yeah. hot. Like it's so different.
Okay. Can I ask you this though?
Yeah.
All right. Say you see two women in line.
Yeah.
Let's say they're both equally beautiful.
Uh-huh.
Okay. One is wearing like a cute Knicks shirt or something, uh-huh. Knicks memorabilia of some kind.
Yeah.
Not necessarily sexy.
Okay.
Okay. And then the other girl is in little to no clothing. Would you be more likely to approach the sexier looking girl? Like, would you be more intrigued by her? Be honest.
I don't know. I mean, I think it, I'd have to see what these women's faces look like. That I'm bigger on.
Yeah,
face, I guess, like that's the aesthetic that I think I care about the most.
Well,
so it's hard to
life.
Say, like, yeah. if it's like if they're equally as attractive,
yeah,
then I would probably maybe approach the girl in the Knicks stuff just because she seems a little, you know, this is a tip that I always got when I was working at Abercrombie when I was in
okay.
when I was like 19 or whatever. One of the managers at Abercrombie, you know, when you work there, one of the things you're supposed to do is you have to scout people around the mall. They recruit you
to be like a model there.
Yeah, that's
quote,
the only way you
there.
Can get a job there as a, like a quote unquote model.
Yeah,
is if somebody from the store walks up to you and says, like, hands you a business card and is like, hey, like, we're hiring models for the store, so like, why don't you come to this? It's a group interview. They basically just like they ask you stupid questions like where do you see your career in 5 years? And you're like 18.
Yeah.
You're like, I think Billy Princell has that joke. What?
You yeah,
know? It's that type of thing. But she would always say that the people that are the best workers, like, because you need like hot people in the store.
Yeah.
But she would say that the people that are the best workers are the girls that walk around the mall in like sweatpants and flip flops. Those are the people that she approached because she knew that they would actually like work. They would actually do their jobs, like attractive people, but still like kind of covert attractive
women.
That's so women.
Funny.
And that was like her. She was like, if I see somebody like that, like in the food court or something, and they're 18, that's who I usually ask if they're interested in the job. I don't ask like some glammed up, like that was her process.
Yeah.
She was kind of right. Like the store that I worked at had pretty normal people that worked there, and it seemed like the culture around that
yeah.
brand was very bad and toxic, you know?
Yeah, it is.
But for the most part, like the people that we worked with, she had a pretty good read on kind of like who was, oh yeah, I do need a job. So let me do this because it's a job and I happen to fit this mold of what they need.
Yeah, or they're like just more flattered than
yeah.
the hot person.
But it's this low maintenance sort of thinking. Like I personally like women when they do dress up. But if, you know, if you're at a basketball game or a baseball game or something like that, like you got to remember that there's a level of humility that I think applies to being at a sporting event.
Well, I would like, just think
just
it's like,
out.
I would just think, but men don't think this in depth,
sure.
I don't think. But I would think
that's true.
You would go, oh, that woman is way more low maintenance.
Yeah, I think that generally that's probably true. But I also think in the moment most guys would probably throw that out the window. If that whoever is the hotter person in front of you, I think a man will, whatever he says right now, whatever I say right now, throw it out the window when they're in front of you. Like it's meaningless. Once the situation starts, if you have the shot with the hotter person, you're going to go for the hotter person. If you think there's even a remote chance
yeah.
like that there's like a you have like any sort of opening with like the sexier girl. It doesn't matter if she's the sexier girl wearing the Knicks shirt or the sexier girl wearing the bra. That's who you're going to go for in the moment if you think there's a chance it could happen.
Okay.
Fonz, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, Fonz absolutely. Agrees.
There you go.
Agrees. Okay. Yeah, or you look at the girl next door and you're like, oh, she'll really work as my wife.
Well,
yeah.
That too, yeah.
If we're doing Abercrombie logic,
yeah.
you're like, that
you say,
woman.
You say, Nick shirt,
yeah,
great
yeah.
cook.
Yeah. She'll clean the bathroom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah right.
She'll get down and dirty. I could shave over the toilet. She won't mind. She won't mind all the hair all over the seat. I've lived
I'll
with
never
men.
Have to clean it up.
Yeah.
Ever.
She'll get down and dirty. That's so funny. Okay, so... I have to ask this.
Yeah.
If you want to ask someone out, what is your usual move to do so?
Lately, honestly, I haven't asked somebody out in person in a really long time.
Isn't that crazy?
Because of the circuit. Yeah, it's because of the pandemic, I guess. I asked one person out in person on Halloween, and she said yes and then flaked on it later.
Mm.
But that was the last time that I can remember doing that. So usually it is just through a dating app, and I keep it pretty simple. Like, there's no... The question was opening line, right?
No, just how do you ask someone out? There's someone you want to ask out. How do you do it?
At this point in my life, I'm very direct. And I think that we're going to get to a point later where we had screenshotted some stuff that we want to talk about. But
yeah, we will.
For the audience.
We will.
But I find that that's the best way to, A, not waste time. Mm-hmm. And when I mean direct, I don't mean like send an unsolicited dick pic. I mean like...
No one assumed that.
You never know.
No,
you never know.
No,
men
no,
are
no,
listening.
No, no.
You have to raise a next generation to be better men. So I'm just making sure they know.
They're visual people. They're like, just send it to her.
Right.
Yeah.
I just think it's you know, if it's a straight up asking somebody out and that's your intention, then you just say, hey, I would love to get a drink with you or have dinner or whatever. Mm-hmm. Are you available? I'm around next week. Here's my number. Something like that.
Yeah.
Instagram's a little different because sometimes you have to like flirt a little more, so there's a lot
if you've never met
yeah, there's a lot of bullshit like replying to people's stories and stuff like
that's the easiest line,
the fire emoji or whatever people do.
Actually, you know? I have a tip for women.
Yeah.
An easy way to open the door for someone to slide in your DMs, I guess men could do this too,
yeah,
is posting a really good food picture from a restaurant somewhere.
Yeah.
Tag nothing.
Yeah.
We always make the mistake. We're like, oh, here's the location and here's the tag of the restaurant.
So someone has to ask.
Leave it blank. It's the easiest window. They just go, God, that looks good. Where's that from?
Right.
And then they'll just keep chatting with you.
It's true. That the food is the best opening, I think, to talking to anybody.
Easy. Now,
even if you're not trying to be romantic with them, if you're nervous, this was something that one of our Dino DiMartino, shout out, a comedian friend of ours. It was a great tip, but when I guess right around the time we started doing shows with people that were ahead of us in comedy, and some people get nervous and not know how to handle it, he was like, if you're ever in doubt, just ask some, like, if you're on a show with Dan Soder or whoever the person is, you say, like, hey, man, like, any good food in this area? What do you think? Have you had any, like,
real good question.
Have you had a burrito or anything around here? And it's just like, it's a very low stakes thing to ask somebody. He could just say, ah, no, man, I don't really know. Or he could give you an answer, and then you have like a conversation that's not like, I'm a big fan of yours.
Or,
you know what I mean? It's the same type of thing with dating. I think anytime, I think a lot of men get in trouble because they make themselves fans of women out of the gate, and that kind of...
They put the pussy on a pedestal, as we say?
I get, that's the way to say it, but it changes the dynamic like immediately. And like, in a relationship, those things kind of naturally happen, but I think that just being direct and just saying like, hey, you know, this is blah, 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 date, time, whatever. Do you want to do this?
Mm-hmm.
It gives people, it's a very, you can say yes or you can say no. And if it's no, it's not a big deal. But there's like, the jury's not out anymore.
Yeah.
You understand, like, it's a no, moving on. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I forgot, I meant to ask this early on, but we just get talking. We're friends. How old are you now again?
I'm 32.
32. So would you say... back in the day when you were younger, you usually wouldn't be as direct?
Yeah, I think I would try to be more like cute.
Yeah,
I would try to do something that was like a little more I would try to like be funny, or I'd try to do whatever
talking.
It just in a way that kind of like, to me now I understand that once you get on the date, that's when you can do all that. Like, you don't need to have an opening line or a pickup line, or that's just such an immature, childish thing to do.
Not even that. I just feel like the move of we're talking is such a young game.
Yeah, right.
And I feel like men and women, as we get older, it's like, no, like, what is this person keeps messaging me? Like, what do they want? Do they want to go out?
Why would you waste
spit it out
either of your time by just kind of not like being indirect? Like, things can be complicated, I guess, sometimes, but especially in a world now where you really do kind of have access to everybody because of social media, you can find anyone and get in touch with them and ask them, or which is a weird thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you meet somebody off of a dating app or in person, it's like, if you're in person, I understand you got to flirt a little bit at a bar or whatever. Like, you got to build up a little bit, but you can also just feel the vibe. And at a certain point, if the vibe is there, there's no reason to not ask.
Oh, 100%.
And then also, it's like, obviously, like, the the name of the show, fucking Shooters Gotta Shoot, like you do. I haven't regretted not asking somebody out in like 8 years.
Yeah.
Since I was kind of like an adult.
Yeah.
So I never ever think like that anymore, where I'm just like, if I'm single and I have a hunch that I'm into this person or attracted to this person or we have something going on, I just ask. There's mm-hmm. like no point in, and because I can take no. I can handle no.
Yeah.
You know?
I also think the more you do talking to someone before the ask out, the more they think you'll stick around if they say no.
Yeah.
And I think asking them out quickly and out the gate kind of gives the impression of like, yeah, if this is a no, I'm gone.
Right.
And it makes people kind of go, oh, if I say no, I'm going to lose them.
Right.
They're just going to move on to the next thing.
Right.
They don't
right.
waste time.
Right.
And I think that's weirdly more attractive in a way.
Yeah, I think 100%. That, again, that's like the right out of the gate, the dynamic shift that I think
yeah.
is like an important thing to just, you want to make it seem like you have options, even if you don't, you know, you don't want to just like come groveling to somebody, man and woman, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's just like, you just don't want to have a tipped power dynamic in a romantic or sexual relationship, like right out of the gate. That happens naturally. But
yeah,
you got to be on equal footing at the onset.
Right.
You know?
I was going to say, a lot of men, I think, feel differently now post Me Too movement as well. If like, if they feel they shot a shot with you and you turned it down, they don't shoot again.
Oh, well, I don't know.
It's like debatable.
I don't necessarily follow that rule.
Yeah,
I check in every now
you
and
you
then.
Do.
I check in. But I never like, I don't think that I'm ever like inappropriate about it. If it's been a no, like I tread lighter if it's been a no. But every like, you know, 3 months later, I might just like pop up again and flirt and
get me honest,
changed
though. Do you pop up because like there's a hot pic that gets posted?
Yeah. Or you start seeing that there's like less pictures of like a boyfriend or something like that when you're writing out a relationship. Like, of course.
That's what it is.
Something usually
it's
has
like
to instigate it.
No, but it's just funny if it's like, oh, she said no, she rejected me, and then it's like 3 months later, it's like, well, she's hot again. Like,
yeah.
It's just,
oh, yeah.
Your brain's like, well, but maybe.
Things have changed. There is a girl that I asked out, I think, last summer.
Oh, so
and she was like, I'm seeing somebody right now, which may have been just an excuse. Who knows? But I said, okay, like, have fun. Like, good luck.
Yeah.
I'll see you out there. And then I asked her out again, like, not long ago. And she was like, I'm still seeing somebody. I was like, okay.
And okay, but that's
but
more
maybe
reasonable.
Maybe I'll check in next summer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the summer after that. We'll see.
But that's not a hard no. So, like, to me, that's reasonable. You're just like, eh, I wonder if she's still seeing that guy.
Yeah,
you know?
And it's also, again, it's just like, to me, as long as it's not an inappropriate ask, then
yeah,
I think
no,
that
no,
it's
no.
kind of, it's fine. I don't think that there's anything wrong with asking after a certain period of time. But if it's a no, it's still a no. And then you have to, like, again, leave it alone. And then you can't be incessant in kind of asking somebody out. But, I mean, if you have a crush on somebody, and there's no harm in trying.
No.
I think. Again, as long as it's respectful and appropriate.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a max two time, though, regardless of what they answer.
Well, again, power dynamic shifts right away. So you got to be mindful of that.
Oh, for sure.
You know? You're smiling at me in a very interesting way.
I'm letting you talk, Mike.
I know.
I'm just letting you talk. I don't want to.
But you're enjoying this.
It's just funny. Because I knew your answer was going to be, I don't quit after one. Because I've been on the other end of the text that's like, I think I should try again. And I'm like, I think she was pretty clear. I'm pretty sure it was a no. And you were like, but one more time.
Yeah, but one more time. I mean, listen, yeah, there's certain people that we, that we know.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
It's like, she posted a sandwich. I think I have it in.
Yeah. Well, I'm not proud of it, but yeah, it's not a lie.
It's so funny. Okay. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
I know, especially since you're now on the show, Guys We Fucked, they have a lot of female listeners.
Yes.
You get a lot of DMs.
Yes.
In general, do you find it unattractive if a woman approaches you first?
No, not at all. I like it. I was going to say, I think nothing of it, but I actually enjoy it. Like, it's flattering for my ego. And I'm truthful, you know? And I'm not turned off by it in any way. Obviously, you can do it poorly, but that's the same thing with men. Like, men, some men that, I mean, how many horrible attempts at asking you out have you
from, like, a blind DM slide?
Anything. Even in real life. When a person, like, a guy just doesn't really have that je ne sais quoi that makes you interested.
I mean, in real life, a bad ask out to me is the vague ask. And because I'm not someone that gets approached a lot in public or asked out a lot in public, as I feel most people nowadays agree. They're like, yeah, it's even if you meet someone in real life, friend of a friend,
doesn't really happen.
You get a DM from them three days later. Like, it's never that night. Right. And I remember probably when I was like 25, hitting a wall of just like, the next time a man goes, we should hang out, I'm just going to go as friends or a date.
Yeah.
And they like often panic. And I'm like, hey, man, that's two outfits. That's two different outfits.
Yeah.
I got I just got to know what outfit.
Well, you have a right to know. And like, I think that like as a guy, you should make it. I do my best to really make that clear or like if I'm asking the person, then yeah, I try to.
Especially if it's someone you kind of know. That's always when they ask vaguely because they don't want to make it weird of we'll run into each other again at some point. And it's like, yeah, it's not weird. Just I got to know because we've all been there where you show up thinking it's a date and it's not.
Yeah.
And then the opposite of I show up in sweats and I'm like, oh, this is a date.
Right.
Okay.
Well, I mean, the rule of thumb could be just don't wear sweats. You could avoid all of this by not wearing sweats. But I understand where you're coming from. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm going to try it a little harder.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
It could be cute leggings.
Does not turn me off, though. So feel free.
So if someone wants the DM slide, what are the rules? How should they do it?
Yeah, this is the thing that we had discussed before. And I don't know that I don't know if I want to read them. Like, I don't want to put anybody on blast.
No, we won't. We never do names. But I feel like
the bad one, because I was like screen grabbing some. Because honestly, I don't really get a lot of bad ones. If I'm being 100% honest.
That makes me happy to hear.
A lot of women.
Because I feel like women will just do that thing of just trying to chat.
Well, they do. But that works. Depending on who you are, like,
okay,
let's be honest, like, let's keep it 100 here. If you are more attractive, you're gonna get more rope to you know, flirt and just be kind of like indirect, I guess, is like a good way to say it.
Yeah, it's the Abercrombie theory,
right?
Oh, you're hot, you're not gonna work as hard.
Right. Yeah.
The less attractive girls are really witty. They come up with better messages.
Right. But here's the thing. Yeah. The witty and better messages suck. Don't do that. It's the same rules.
The witty?
I think they're terrible. Funny? Well, yeah. Like the one that I sent you before was from someone that will remain nameless. This was the worst one I ever got.
Okay.
The DMer writes, "What's better than walking a dog?" I said, "What?" She says, "A spelling bee. Will you tell Corinne her mani is on point? Also, do you feel like your hair grows fast in the summer?" And then my response to that was, "My God." an immediate turn. I mean, what do I even say to this?
First of all, I don't get if that is a joke and that's the punchline. I'm like, I don't.
Exactly my point. What the fuck is this?
That's
is a DM slide, but it's like, what is this?
That's ADD right there. Yeah. I don't know what that was.
So it's kind of just like, this might be somebody that's nervous. This might be somebody that is just thinking that they're clever and like shooting it or whatever, you know, but which I respect. Listen, never not shoot your shot, but
learn from
bad.
Your mistakes.
Yeah. Horrible. And then
I was going to say, I think you would like something witty if you find it funny.
No one is witty. I just don't think people are as clever as they think they are and as witty.
Oh, I would agree in general.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's the same. I'm on apps, whatever, DMs.
Yeah.
If I got a message that did actually make me chuckle, I would be like, oh.
When does that happen?
I'd be super intrigued because it's so rare.
When does it happen?
Never.
So don't do it. Don't try it. Don't try it.
That's, listen.
I mean, like, think of what you just said. Listen to what you, the things
you
just said.
But if you find someone that has the same sense of humor as you, it's a beautiful thing.
You haven't yet. Right?
No,
or am
I
wrong?
I haven't. Not
so
currently,
like,
anyway, yeah.
It's like, that's a terrible thing to bank on. It really is. I really have always felt that way, that is not a thing you should ever lead with.
Okay.
That you are like, and that's the thing that I think has fucked a lot of people in our business a lot, because it's so much of their identity is that I'm funny.
Yeah.
But like a lot of regular people, not only are they not funny, but they don't have a good sense of humor either.
Yeah.
They don't have either of those things. So it's just like, it's a lost cause for you to try to be, you know, funny and clever with a pickup line to enter. Do what this girl did. This was a great one. All right. I had COVID in December, right around Christmas. Everybody in New York City was getting COVID at that time. She says, "Hi, I'm," she replied to me posting about having COVID. She says, "Hi, I'm blank. Just started quarantining day three in Brooklyn. If you want someone to celebrate this when this is over, fuck this.
Oh,
I said,
okay.
Hi, blank. That could be fun. Cool. Here's my number. Gave me her number. See you on the other side. And that was, I had her number, and then we ended up texting at some point, and we did meet up. It took a while, but like after a while we met up, and it was not great, but like it was like that to me is the perfect DM.
Yeah.
Like there's something a little bit, there was a reason to kind of reach out, which I personally don't care about. Any reason's a good enough reason.
Exactly.
But she found her kind of in, and then was just very direct. Hey, if you want to hang out, get a drink or whatever, when we're both like feeling better, here's my number. Let's do it. And she kept it short, sweet, in, out. He'll text me. I gave him my number, and then that's that. And I did. And it
worked. Yeah, I was going to say, for women that date men, if you're going to DM slide on a man, or even approach in public, it's I go make it quick. And you put the ball in their court.
Yeah.
You basically just go, I will say yes if you want to go out, hang out, whatever.
Right.
And you just put it in their court. Here's my number. Boom. And then you leave it up to them.
Well,
it's like they know.
In your experience, a lot of men aren't very direct, right?
No.
As direct as you would like, at least.
Yeah. I mean, I've dated men for 3 months. Still like,
I just,
wow,
no
I was really
idea.
Still keeping it pretty vague.
Yeah, right. Right. Yeah.
Still somehow dodging any question.
Yeah. So, you know, it's like the same sort of thing. It's like that is one of the best things that you can do when you're just trying to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what is the point of beating around the bush? I just never understood. I mean, I'm sure I did it when I was younger. But now as an adult with a fully formed brain, I just don't understand what there is to tiptoe around.
Yeah.
Literally, unless somebody is like in some sort of complicated relationship where they're like,
true.
I don't know, like we're about to break up. Because a lot, you know, that phase before people break up, they're like kind of testing the waters a little bit. Or
what do you mean, like with other people?
Just testing it in terms of like, I think when you're towards the end of a relationship, you like receiving some sort of
flirting something from other
people.
Yeah,
like flirting from
I guess.
That type of thing.
Yeah.
Again, like situations like that where it's like, all right, well, I might be into this person, but they're in something right now. This can't really, like, what are we doing? We're talking a lot, but, you know, that's the type of weird situation that I feel like I understand the tap dance. But if it's direct, like, you're single, I'm single, there's no reason to not just say, hey,
let's
do this or not.
I would advise nobody to tap dance ever with anyone in a relationship.
No, of course. I'm
men,
not advising
women,
that. I'm just saying that's like, again, it's like when a situation's complicated, I understand the tap dance.
Oh, you mean like when you live with your girlfriend and then you break up? Something like that?
Yeah, something like that. And you're sleeping on the couch and you know.
And you're like, I'm technically single, but there's a woman who's always here.
And then a pandemic hits and you're technically single, but not.
Yeah.
Complicated situation.
And you broke your foot.
And you
can't go anywhere.
And then you shuffle out to New Jersey.
Yeah, something like that.
At 3 a.m.
Two days
before Christmas and get chlamydia.
Yeah. Just
while you're living with her.
Just hypothetically. We're just spitballing here. Not that this has happened to
anyone. That would be a crazy situation.
God, if I was in that situation, I would have killed myself.
I mean, you maybe end up calling some of your friends and walking around the park in Williamsburg smoking cigarettes while they convince you not to kill yourself. But I don't know. I mean,
but
everybody lives their own life differently.
You know. It's New York. What are you going to do?
It's New York. Yeah. It's a tough place to live. You know?
Such a New York thing.
Not that I've ever done any of that. Or you've, you know, people you know, though.
I have not. I can confidently say I have not.
Did the camera just catch me, like, staring at the table and just, like,
in disbelief?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Does feel like a decade ago. Isn't that weird?
Yeah. It was not that long ago. But I'll tell you what, Lexapro is great. It fixes everything. It's a magic pill.
Yeah, we highly recommend seeking help. So real quick, recap. This is my other part.
Go ahead.
You DM slide on someone, you have to have a public profile.
Yeah.
And some photos of yourself, by the way. I've gotten DM slides and it's like just men posting food.
No,
I'm
no.
like, where the fuck are you? Where?
Well, also, what's the point? I mean, like, you need to be... You have to, in some ways, treat Instagram at this point, if you're single, as a dating profile. It's like the.
I would say as a website. If your company has a website and I go to the website and it's like private.
Right. Yeah.
What the fuck is the point of this website?
I'm not working with this person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or buying from
this
store.
Use my product.
Yeah.
Go check out my website.
100%.
There's nothing here.
Yeah.
I can't see anything.
It's like, think about a dating profile. How many of your pictures come straight from Instagram? Probably all of them, right?
I guess.
Almost all of them?
Somewhat a chunk. I don't post too many. I'm posting pod clips now, baby.
Well, right. Okay. Yeah. Then those aren't going
I literally need to make an Instagram that's almost like, if someone wants to date me or I want to date someone, I send them to that Instagram.
The private Instagram.
And it's just just pictures of me being hot. Yeah. No, I'll make it public, but I'll pretend like I don't have
this other
Instagram with podcast clips revealing my life.
The foundation
to
of every healthy relationship, an immediate lie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not a lie. He could Google me, but men don't. Y'all are dumb. You could Google me, you could find out so much information, and you fucking don't.
Yeah.
It is crazy how, like, and it's probably just because I'm friends with comics, but it's so funny of any woman I know who starts seeing a guy they'd like, but they will find all the information on them that they can.
Yeah, women
and if
are
they
very
are
good
a guest on 10 podcasts, we'll listen to all 10 of them.
Yeah.
I've done it.
Yeah.
And then I've been on dates like, they'll say a story and I'm like, this is some story he tells on podcasts.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I'm like, I'm getting the show right
well,
now.
I've made girls mad with podcasts before by accident, not realizing it. When I was like younger and single, it was when...
not the show with Gene.
Yeah. It was an old show that we buried because God forbid anybody find that. But it was a podcast we were doing and I was talking to Corinne and Christina were on the show. And I was talking to them about some girl that I had gone out with and really had a crush on really just days after I had gone out with some other girl. But I was like single.
But it hurts to hear.
Yeah, and this girl had heard. Yeah. The girl had listened to this podcast and sent me like a text message that was like, "Fuck you, I don't know who you think you are." I had gone on like 3 dates with this girl, but this girl was like really upset that I talked about a girl that wasn't her on this podcast.
And that wasn't her.
I was like, "Yeah, man, I don't think it's gonna work." But I had a great time, like, and this girl was just like, "I'm done with this," and I was like, "I get it."
Wow.
But that was one of the first lessons where I was like, either. Like everything you have to be completely honest about and you like take that with you and you wear it if you're going to be a person in front of a mic. Like you just have to embrace the fact that it could fuck up something in your life at any moment.
Yeah, people get
or
mad.
You just lie and don't tell anything about your personal life on a podcast.
Dating life specifically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've chosen
the
former, obviously.
I mean, for me, it goes hand in hand with stand-up.
Yeah.
Like
right.
Before I was podcasting... Or even still, when people find out I'm a comedian, they're usually like, are you going to talk about me on stage? Like in a dating app, we've never met. I'm like, no.
Right.
That's what, nothing has happened.
Right.
Or it's like, or just don't be a piece of shit.
Right.
Really. It's like what I should say. I'm like, yeah, as long as you're not a piece of shit.
Right.
So if you're already worried about being a piece of shit.
Right.
Leave.
Yeah, it's funny.
Leave.
When I was in a relationship and I was still doing stand-up, I never had bits about my girlfriend that were like positive. like she did this great thing the other day. It was always like she made me feel bad, so here's a joke about it, you know.
But it is stuff everyone relates to.
Yeah, 100%, because that's like being, you know, the shittiest parts of your life I think are the things that people are happiest to observe and laugh at the Comedy Cove or you know, whatever.
It's just hilarious
nightclub.
Of like I've never dated anyone long enough to have bits about them.
It's fun. I mean, it's fun when they don't see them. I had a whole, I had like 10 minutes about my ex right before I quit and it was getting pretty good.
You're
and
like,
then I started traveling and doing more road stuff and I was just like, I just don't really want to do this anymore, but it's a shame that I'm gonna have to put this all to bed.
Yeah. You're like, that's going pretty nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, it's such is life.
Yeah. I only had one joke about an ex and it was about we broke up on Martin Luther King Day.
Oh yeah.
And he was black. And I was like, well, when that happens, you're just like, well, okay.
You know what's funny? We're both talking cryptically, like for the audience, and we know exactly who these people are.
Oh, for sure. 100%.
So it's like you're like Martin Luther King Day. I'm like, I know the ex. I know who you're talking about.
MLK Day?
Yeah, right. I know exactly who you're talking about. It's so funny to me.
You're like, I remember January 2020.
Yeah, right.
I remember that date vividly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, I'm curious.
Yep.
Are there any dating rules that you yourself try to follow?
Yeah. The biggest one is I do not ask women out either if I work with them or if they're at work. So that could be any level of work, meaning like if I was at the mall and somebody that I thought was attractive was working at Foot Locker, I would not, even if there was a vibe, I just wouldn't ask them out because it's a place where they can't
leave.
Yes. I was going to say, the word that came to mind was escape, but I was like, that's a horrible, horrible word to use here. But you can't. So if you're at a bar with somebody, you are sort of signing the social contract that you are open to possibly meeting a person.
more open,
platonically, yeah, romantically, whatever. Like, you're okay. out. You know, it's socializing. If you're at work, you have to be there. You don't have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
So I always felt that way when someone was waiting on my table or whatever. I just felt like it was a place where you should not be meant to be made uncomfortable there if a situation doesn't go. Because, like, maybe she says yes and we go out and it's great. Maybe she is just extremely uncomfortable by the fact that some pig that she just waited on is like, hey, you're cute, here's my number or whatever. That sounds harmless, and a lot of times it is, but it's still just like, it's a place that you don't have a lot of control over the situation when you're at work.
Yeah, I would be like, how much do I like this restaurant that I would feel uncomfortable coming back?
You could factor that in too.
Right.
But yeah, it's part of my moral code, is that that's like one place. And work, I've had one bad experience where I went out with somebody that I worked with in my early 20s. We did not go out long. We went on like maybe 3 dates. We were not even physical or intimate, really. We like kissed, I think.
Yeah.
But it didn't go anywhere. And then we ended up working together for like 6 or 7 more years.
Tough.
And it was kind of weird every time we got to a place where we were working together on things. And there was just something always hanging over it that was just a little weird.
You never addressed it?
No, there was nothing to address. Like, there was just kind of like, we went out when we were 23 or 24 or whatever, and now we're 28 and we're working on a show together or something, and it's just kind of like,
I would have 100% called it out.
But
joke of like, man, you know, do you think we would have made out if we knew we'd be working together this much? Like, just call it out that it happened. They'd probably be like, yeah, no.
I just thought it was best to just let it sleep. Because again, it's like workplace stuff, you get into really weird territory where it's just like, I, in general, I don't like to make people uncomfortable, like romantically, but especially when there is a work element to it. It just seems predatory is not the word, but inappropriate, I guess, is the word.
It's a live and learn situation.
Yeah.
Like, I never was burned badly from it.
Yeah.
And then recently I was dating this person, we just called them the comedian on the show. Didn't work out, and I have only run into them once.
Yeah.
But it is that thing that I'm like, oh, if I think to stop by somewhere, I go and I check the lineup.
Yeah, right.
Just because it's like, yeah, it's I just weird. Don't want the surprise.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's not that it ended badly, it's just mentally.
Yeah, you want to be prepared.
Yeah, there have been nights where I was like, oh, if I run into this person tonight, I'm straight up going to be like, hey, I just can't talk to you today.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, it's just, yeah.
Yeah, but, and that's okay. I think that obviously the show business thing is very weird because it is sort of like a workplace, but it's also not, because everybody goes in all these different directions and people are working on different things in different places at all this time.
Oh, yeah.
You never know who, at this point, you don't know who's in New York, who's in LA, who quit, who, you know, it's just hard to keep up with all of that stuff. And they're your peers. When you spend so much time doing this, you're just stuck around these people.
Oh, for sure.
So it's kind of hard. Like, that's why I applaud you for going to the Knicks game and trying to find somebody at the Knicks game.
Because
it's just like, you know, at least it's outside of where we usually would. We both have dated people in this world. You know, long-term, short-term, whatever. Like, it does seem to, it can be weird, but it's also like, what else are you supposed to do? Where are you supposed to find people other than a dating app?
Well, it is like, the numbers have like started to switch in terms of percentage of people that get married. Mm-hmm. The percentage of people that met through work used to be, I believe it was 40%.
Right.
And dating apps were low.
Crazy.
But like, just people, you're going to meet people through wherever you are all the time.
Right.
So you're at work a lot. You're at the, you know, the whatever, the golf club a lot, the gym a lot. It's always like something.
Yeah.
But now it's like switching of, it's more people are meeting online. Like, online is now 30%. And I think work now is 30. So they're like even.
Yeah.
But I believe the work is going down, especially now that everything's remote.
Yeah.
It's like, who's, I don't know that many stories of people shooting shot over a Zoom call.
I don't speak
with someone they've never met.
I don't speak to people more than like,
no,
twice a week.
Right. Yeah. So you also don't really
get to know.
There's
days I'm like, I didn't talk today. I didn't talk to not anybody. I didn't even talk to myself.
Right.
You know?
Would you say there's any other dating rules you try to follow?
Any other dating rules?
Even if they're ones you've just made for yourself. Because that work one is interesting of, they're at work. I've never heard a guy say that.
Yeah, I will never hit on a girl that cannot control whether she can leave the situation.
Okay, but would you DM slide on her later? Like, would you get her Instagram while she's at work, or not even that?
I think maybe it depends on the.
Yeah,
I think that
if it's
I would.
Very flirty. I feel like it's like
in so in my line of work, kind of like as a producer, there have been times where I have had. I guess it is kind of the Zoom thing where they're just like, there's a woman that comes on. It seems like there's like a little bit of a flirty vibe, and we kind of have some sort of grounding force that kind of like makes you validated because you're with a bunch of people, like yeah. they know you have a job that you're working. So, and it is this weird like influencer show business type of industry that it seems like everybody is again incestuous. So there have been times where I've like somebody has been a guest on something that I've produced where I've kind of like been like, hey, great yeah. to have you on. Also, if you're in New York, but again, it's a
that's a nice vague.
Yeah, and I like yeah. to try to keep anytime I do something like that, which has not been often, but maybe a couple, once or twice. Again, it's like I really tread lightly and tiptoe. I try to be not that I'm ever not respectful, but mm-hmm. like that is another layer where it's just like I don't want any potential for making somebody uncomfortable in this yeah. type of situation.
I get
like,
it.
You know,
I get it.
No, great. Okay, see ya. Like yeah. I'll see ya. You know, next time around. But. Yeah, I just that is like my biggest rule. I just try to be as respectful as possible,
mm-hmm.
and I hope that I follow through with that. But that's really it. It's not like I don't have a lot of arbitrary rules that are like if she has you know blonde hair, I'm out, dude.
No, not like that. I meant you know? Like I thought because you've texted me before on this.
On what?
You'll go out with a girl and you'll be like, I want to ask her for a second date, but I can't ask. Tonight or tomorrow, it's too soon. I look too desperate.
Well, that just,
and I'll be like, no, you don't.
That just goes by how it feels. That's not like a, it's not like a hard, fast rule, like three dates. It's just kind of like, if there's a serious vibe, I don't wait as long. If there's a serious vibe, I wait like maybe a day.
Yeah.
You know, because if you get the good night text, like I got home safe, good night or whatever, like you don't want to text somebody at noon the next day and be like, so what, when are we doing this again?
I mean,
you
I don't
give
think
it a little
a
bit of time
thing.
To breathe. Give it a day.
This is literally when I get a text from you the most, is you going, I want to ask this girl out. I think it's too soon. And I go, no, it's not. And you never listen to me. I've distinctly remember you waiting 2 or 3 days before. And I was like, Mike, just fucking pull the trigger.
There's been times I've done that for sure. But I think it's probably when the read on the girl is or the woman is not like as clear. When I'm not sure if she's that into me, you know, that's when I'm kind of just like, all right, maybe I'll circle back. I'll shoot her a text in a couple of days and see if she's actually into this.
So if you don't feel like she's as into you, you are more in your head about looking desperate.
A little bit. Yeah.
Okay. That's
but again, it's not a rule. It's not like
I know it's not a hard rule.
I'm
but
waiting
just...
2 days and it's just kind of like, all right, this was a vibe. We hit it off. And like, I don't think it'll seem desperate if I text this girl in, yeah. This woman in. In
it's almost
day
it's
whatever.
Almost like the debate is like, would it be better or worse if we both sleep on it?
Yeah, right. Right. But that's the
she
thing.
She slept on it and the answer's now no.
So there was somebody that I was seeing out of my like last relationship, the first person, one of the first people that I was seeing that I really liked that I ruined the chance because I moved too fast. 100%. And I think that was why I kind of, because I did, and she literally had said to me at a certain point, she's like, this is too fast. I like you, but we have to slow down. And I was just like, no, don't think about that. I was literally like what you just said, where I was just like, no, don't think about it. We like each other, right? We're going to be a great couple. And she, like, eventually she was just like, I like you. You're a great guy. I can't do this. Like, this is going way too fast. We've been seeing wow. each other for 4 weeks. This is way too fast.
Lexapro Mike came out.
No, I wasn't on Lexapro
oh,
yet.
Oh, you weren't?
No,
I would assume this
Lexapro
was like
Mike
your first,
was like
your
Lexapro
first
Mike was like
days.
3 months away. And things changed and got better. But I mean, like, it was that experience, I think, was enough for me to be like, all right, maybe I should slow down a little bit. Cause this was a person that I ruined something with that it could have been something. And I blew through every yellow light and she was like, come on, please. I like you. Like begging me to slow down. Like, please, I like you. Don't fuck this up. And I was like, no, woo, woo, woo. we're going right through the red lights. And then, of course, like, that was it.
I would have sworn that would have been, like, day two of you on Lexapro. Just like, we're not thinking. We're out of our head. The anxiety's gone.
No. Once I was on Lexapro, I was seeing things crystal clear. It was unbelievable. I was going on dates, and I was just like, oh, my God, I do want to be single and have a great summer. And like, it was just, like, so crystal clear. Before I had gotten onto Lexapro and, like, taken care of my mental health, I was clinging to anything that felt good. Clinging the fucking life out of it, just squeezing it to death.
Yeah.
And I did, you know, but thank God for pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, thank God. Huh? All right, so we lightly touched on your bad breakup.
Yes.
What advice would you give to someone going through a bad breakup?
Best advice I ever got was from Corinne of Guys We Fucked fame. She obviously knew how bad it was for me when I was going through it. Mm-hmm. And she gave me, I know that you recommend books and stuff on the pod before. Have you recommended any of the Guy Winch books?
We had her on to talk about that book.
How to
Fix a Broken Heart.
It's that book. Yeah. That's the one that helped me clear everything up, because there's a lot of advice in there about creating your own closure,
mm-hmm.
which if you feel like you have gotten out of a relationship and it's not, you have questions still about, could I have done this or could I have changed that? Is there a way that I could have actually made this person want me more? A lot of times what that really is like, you're unfulfilled. You mm-hmm. didn't get that from that other person. So you're kind of putting that on yourself to question whether or not you could have tap danced for this person anymore to make them like you, because you might have been disappointed in the love that you weren't getting, or the type of person that you were expecting your partner to be, and they just kind of weren't.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times that's what fucks people up, is kind of like, why isn't this person the person that I want them to be or thought they were going to be? But they're the person that they are, mm-hmm. and you just kind of can't accept that. There's a lot of that in the Guy Winch book. And I just had the audiobook. I would listen to it on runs. I knocked it out in like a day. And it just kind of guided me through it. I actually followed the steps. Obviously, there is still a little bit more road to go after I listened to that book last year. But eventually, I think those tools were the thing that kind of helped me get out of it. Because it was just kind of like, you'll never have the answers to why. Like, it's better to sever ties with this person.
Well, that's, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the top advice of any breakup book.
Right.
Or, like, literally get them off anything.
Even if you want to stay friends, quote unquote, with people, and even if it's not a bad breakup, like, truthfully, my breakup got worse. It wasn't really that bad at first.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then it got to a place, because we were kind of in touch, where, like, I was coming from a more desperate place. It got worse because I was kind of making it worse, you know? And it was because I was looking for a lot of those answers. Like, why can't we stay together? Why can't we do this? Why can't we? And that's just the best thing for you, I think, is to just say, like, it doesn't matter. Like, create your own closure. Think of your list of, like, why. Think of the bad things that this person did to you, even if they're not a bad person. But, like, remember this trip that got ruined. Remember this moment that was bad. Like, there are great moments in every relationship, even, like, toxic ones, but the bad ones are the reason that you need to not be in it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh, yeah, there's the two things I remember the most, maybe three things from that book I remember the most, was number one was pick a reason for the breakup.
Right.
It was like, just pick one.
Yeah.
This is the reason it didn't work, period. The other thing was make a list of all the things that were like little annoyances of them, and specifically events or things that happened that you were like, I didn't like how I was treated, blah, blah, blah. And then the third thing is, if you're really with someone a long time and there's like places you would go together that remind you of them, it was like, reclaim those spots.
Yeah.
Like, go with friends and have a good time. And it kind of is like reclaiming it in your brain.
It's a great thing.
And it's not this like sad place now.
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up, because when I moved to my new apartment, when I was with her still, we were looking at apartments over there. We ended up in a different part of the city, but and one of the times that we had, where I kind of begged her to get back together, it was like the first time I begged her to get back together, this was going years ago, was there. We weren't living there, but we were like, that's hanging so out over fun. There. And I had kind of forgotten about it until I moved over there. And then the first month or so that I was living there was kind of tough.
Because
I would walk, I'd go for a run over there, you know, and it would just, I would just like see these areas, and I would just kind of be reminded. And it's just like, it was the first time I was living alone. I had a lot of alone time. So I was really thinking about this a lot. And it's this weird place that you could be in when you're over somebody, but there's a memory that is so vivid and poignant that it kind of sticks in you.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're over this, but there's, it just like brings up these memories that just kind of make you feel a little bad. And you got it. You get through it. I mean, I got through it in a couple of weeks. It was once I kind of got settled into my place and everything.
Yeah, but it's weird.
It's really weird. But that is a huge thing to now just be like, okay, now this place is the place where I live alone. You know, my first, if you want to call it like a bachelor pad or whatever.
Yeah.
Like it has, that's a huge aspect of this, is changing the narrative of these places, so the memories are not painful.
Yeah.
You know, so they change, and you have a lot more sensory around and control over that sensory awareness.
Yeah.
You know,
we do have to wrap soon.
Yeah.
But I have a question I want to ask.
Yeah,
you.
Go ahead.
That I'm trying to ask all the men that come on.
Yeah.
Of what is something you wish women knew about men?
I think as it pertains to me specifically, it's that we're not all the same, and kind of how we think and how we, like the broad, this was something that always bothered me as I was kind of like finding my masculinity as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
What, you know, my dad, dad is not a handy person. So I was not raised to be a handy person. But at the same time, so the same way women are marketed to, Cosmo and makeup and all these, you know, be thin and all these things that are, that are bad for women, that you know, are obviously, we can all agree, are really fuck young women up.
Yeah, the standards. Standards they try to push.
We get that shit too.
Okay.
And now that, like, what that, like, prototypical, like, guy's guy is different. It's like the Joe Rogan, like, guy with the fucking backwards hat and the beard, and he likes beer and woodworking and shit. Like, it used to bother me knowing somebody that has no skills with his hands. I really don't. I can't fix anything. I can't build furniture. I can't hang a hook. I cannot do it. I don't know how to do it. Sorry. Father's Day comes around every year, and the commercials are always, you know, this Father's Day,
get a tool,
get your dad a Genesis power drill.
Yeah.
It's like, my dad doesn't use any of that shit.
Uh-huh.
So like, what am I supposed to get my dad? Like, is he not a fucking man because he doesn't use a Genesis power drill and cut shit up?
Like, he doesn't like tools, and he doesn't like golf. You're out of ideas.
Right. And my dad doesn't like either of those things. So it's like, what do I do? And it's like, the world kind of makes it. And I think men kind of, you know, a lot of masses, there are basic men and basic women, and they are kind of like the baseline, whatever type of person.
Yeah.
But I think the thing that I'm not surprised by it anymore, because I'm 32 now, but when I first started dating as an adult, and I started realizing that I felt different than a lot of other like stereotypical men, because I just am not, I love a Broadway show, and I love a fucking, like, Fonz is shaking his head over there too, you know? Like, I like these things. I just like what I like, and I'm not like a man. I'm not the fucking stereotypical. I got my own thing. And I think that also applies to men dating women. Like, I think that's why women a lot of times get frustrated when they're dating men, because a lot of men act like all women are all the same. And that's a terrible attitude to have, that like women, you know, sexually, that they like the same things, that they like the same things as their personalities are the same or whatever. Like, everybody's different. And I think that it's a bad thing to like lump everybody together as like all women like this, all men like this. And I think that your dating life just gets better when you start, again, it's like the Guy Winch thing, accepting people for who the fuck they are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like so much healthier. You see the real person, man, woman, whatever their personality is. And I think that's the thing. It's like listen to the person that's in front of you and decide if you like that person. Don't try to say like, I want a boyfriend. So this guy on Instagram, he looks like he goes on vacations, and I like vacations, and I like that. Like, talk to the person, figure out their personality, figure out if you're attracted to them for real and if you really like them. And I think that that's what it comes down to. Like, just everybody is a snowflake, and no two men are actually alike if you really get to know people.
100% the same.
You're saying they are?
I'm saying no men to men, women to women,
right?
Whatever orientation, yada yada.
Yeah.
None of us are exactly the same.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing. Just don't assume that we all like Joe Rogan and power tools. And I think that that's really the crux of it.
Yeah. Or on your point on dating, it's like, because I've heard this all the time of like someone saying like, I need a real man, right?
Right.
And it's this thing that's like, no, you need someone that you are compatible right. with. And that makes you feel good and calm and you just mesh together well.
Right.
Because, you know, and it's an annoying thing of like, we've all seen couples, or this is my favorite example. Seeing a couple, the woman's driving the car.
Yeah.
So many people make comments on
it. Yeah.
They're like, oh, this, you know, oh, but she wears the pants and that really.
Totally.
It's like, maybe he just wants to play on his phone. It's like that's just the dynamic.
Erica, think about all the people that you know. Like, you grew up in upstate New York, not too different from Jersey where I grew up.
No, yeah, suburbs.
Think about, like, some fucking jerk off driving around in a pickup truck with like a bald head and a barbed wire tattoo and a tank top, just being a dick and like a Trump thing on his fucking back and like the back of his car or whatever.
The balls hanging from the thing.
Yeah, what a jerk off. But you know what? Somebody loves that guy. Yeah. That's somebody's type. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if you like that type, I'm not going to be the guy for you.
Oh, this is such a good example.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
I've looked
think
at
of the
so
biggest
many...
dickhead you know. Somebody is like, that guy's hot.
Not even you that. Know? Just people. That's such a great way to look at it. If there's so many women I'll meet, and I just so don't mesh with them.
Yeah.
And then I like find out they're dating someone. I'm like, infuriating.
Yeah.
I'm like, this person has someone, they suck.
Right.
And that's the better way to look at
but
it.
But they find, it's all these horrible people in your life that you know, cat women and fucking pickup truck guy and coder guy.
Coming
and
hard at cat women.
Tattoo woman, like whatever, however you want to look at this. Like
whatever the thing you hate is.
Yeah, that is just clearly not your type. Somebody is into that.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the thing that people kind of like. You got to just figure out the thing that you like and then not project it onto somebody else. Like, again, that's what got me into trouble with my last relationship. It was like, we liked the idea of each other. And then in the long run, it was just like, we were standing in front of each other saying like, this is who I am.
Mm.
And neither of us would accept.
It just wasn't working.
We were just like, but you, why aren't you the thing that I want?
Well,
then you have to go in the, you just have to go in other directions when that's the case. You have to find the thing that you want, and that's, you know, that's the moral of the story.
Yeah, I would agree. I'd agree with you. I don't think that's bad advice. I don't think that's ever come up, being like, let me look at other women that I just don't like.
Yeah,
but if anything, it's like I more notice I don't like them when they're in a relationship and I'm not.
Yeah,
and I'm just like, what? You?
Yeah.
You're a pain in the ass.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, who puts up with you?
And some guy's like, oh, I love her so much. You know?
Yeah, and I'm like, I could never.
Yeah.
I would kill her if she was in my Girl Scout troop.
100%.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, oh, God, no. 100%. Okay. Anyway, plugs at the end here.
Yeah.
Check out your new podcast that literally comes out the day this comes out.
Yeah.
Untold History of Sports in America.
Yeah.
So if you're a sports fan, check that out. And obviously, if you're not listening to Guys We Fucked, check that out. Friends Are Homie and Christina.
Yeah.
Great people. Great pod. And follow Mike at Mike Coscarelli, which is Coscarelli. Or just look at who I'm following.
That's pretty good.
Search the mics that I'm following and you'll find them. And you can follow us at Shooters Gotta Shoot Pod. And I'm at Sparica with two A's. And stay tuned for a Patreon preview coming up next. So thanks for coming on, Mike.
Thank you for having me, Erica.
Yeah. Have a good one.
So back with Molly. We did an episode about the friend zone, and I'm not expecting anyone to remember this, but I remember talking about an example of someone that I never like saw in that light or whatever, and then there was one night we were hanging out, and I was like, I kind of want to hook up with this guy, but it was in the sense of like, you know, we all have people that you're like, you just have no desire to be physical with that are essentially friends in your life. And I don't really believe for men that switch can just like flip where it's like, oh, suddenly they'd want to date you. But for women, I think it can. And I tell a story about hanging out with someone and I literally texted Molly from hanging out with them being like, I kind of think I feel a vibe and I don't know what to do. And we both were like, you know what? Let's sleep on it. And then literally the next day, that person
went out on a date and immediately like was like, oh my God, I'm so into them. I'm so excited, blah, blah, blah. Like basically like was in love. And I was sitting there like, God damn it. If you want to hear the rest of this episode, join our Patreon, which is patreon.com/shootersgottashoot. For just $5 a month, you get all the behind the scenes exclusive content. patreon.com/shootersgottashoot.